Liam Walsh is originally from the Spa in Tralee. On the 6th of October 2022, his 13-year-old daughter, Maya Walsh, who was a regular visitor herself to Kerry over the years of her life, was found dead in her home in Hertfordshire in the UK. Liam believes his daughter was influenced into self-harming due to the content she was accessing online, and in particular on the social media platform TikTok. He's been on a journey since and on a campaign for the last year and a half to try and get laws changed and get the regulators and politicians to hold big social media companies to account for the content they allow on their platforms, which are in turn accessed and viewed by children. I first spoke to Liam about Maya, the kind of person she was, and her strong links to Kerry.
When Maya was born in Romford, I felt it hugely necessary to encompass upon her Irish heritage, so that she knew who she was, where she was from, and what her history was, what her family history was. So we first took her over to Ireland when she was 6 months old, and then we would bring her to Ireland during the summer, and then we would bring her to Ireland at Christmas and summer, and Christmas and summer and Christmas, all the way up until COVID, when she was nearly 13, I think. Yeah, 12 actually. Her granddad and her nan and her uncles are there. It's the home in the Spa in Tralee is kind of our mecca. We all go there every year. So we had, you know, we'd have the bouncy castle in the back. We're only a quarter of a mile from the Spa Sea, you know, from the Oyster Tavern. And that picturesque scene and my history as well. There's my school up there, and there's some friends of mine around there, and I felt it was important for Maya because I didn't want her thinking she's from Romford. Yeah, Romford, and she had no identity, and she was genetically, she was one of us. We have this look that goes through the family, and she was one of us, all right.
As you know, happy-go-lucky, you know, pre-teen into teen, how was her life before this happened?
Picturesque. Her mother moved from, we lived in Romford, and then her mother moved to a place called Ware in Hertfordshire, W-A-R-E. Initially I was reluctant because it meant me and her mother had split up. It meant that I would have to travel more, maybe 3 hours a week to see Maya and whatever. But actually the payoff was brilliant because her school was surrounded by ponies and horses up a little hill, you know, and I was very, very pleased and satisfied with her level of education. Me and her would spend up to 3 hours a week in the car because it would take me an hour and a half to pick her up, an hour and a half to drop her home in reverse. I pick her up, bring her to mine, spend the weekend with mine, and then bring her back on a Sunday evening. And I always included her in everything I did because I didn't want to be a letdown. I worked very, very hard. I worked very, very hard at the time, and all of my spare time I would dedicate with her. She never had any major issues. She turned 13 and then puberty and then boys but nothing that raised any flags in anyone's head. You think, oh well, that's normal personal development of a 13-year-old young woman. And I gave her room to, and her mother gave her room to develop into who she is, because she was a very formidable, independent, my name's Maya Walsh and I do this, and she was very, very, very much in control of herself and her own life for a 13-year-old.
When what happened then, total shock, total horror in October 2022.
Yeah. October 2022, October the 6th, 2022. Just a normal night. I drank a couple of pints of really odd Guinness. You know, the copy Guinness from Aldi or Lidl. At the time, I had 14 or 15 men working under my control. And the phone rings at 3 in the morning. And I'm thinking, one of them's had too many to drink.
Yeah.
wants to ring me up and tell me what a great man I am. I've got that rage in me, like ringing me at 3 a.m. Who could this be? Because the last thought in your head is that thought, and it was the police. To tell me that Maya died and she was in Stevenage Hospital, and I screamed a few expletives, and I thought I was having some kind of nightmare or so. I'd fallen asleep, you know, and I'd gone into hell.
An episode.
And I screamed for it not to be true, and Sergeant Dan Osborne of Hertfordshire Police said, "No, Liam, it is true. Do you want me to send the car for you?" And I was like, "No, don't send a car. I'll drive." Stupidly thinking, I can't control anything, but I can control the car. Stupid. And I picked up my girlfriend, and I rang my brother and I said, "Meet me at the hospital because I can't do this on my own." And we did, and went into the hospital, and there must have been 15 or 20 professionals all dressed up in the hospital gownage stuff, and they're all staring at the floor as I'm walking in because they knew what I couldn't comprehend on that walk, on those 25 steps to my daughter's bed. And there she was, looking like she was asleep, and I just held her belly, rubbed her hair, and the police are here, and her mum's there in bits. The police are here, and there's about 6 in the room. Michael, my brother's there, and I said, I just kept asking Maya, "What happened? What happened? Like, what's happened?" And I said to the police in that room at that minute, on my emotional knees, I said, "I want her data swooped." That's what I said. I said, "I want to know exactly what she's... This is not her character. There's nothing dark and whatever. Something has happened to this child. You know, something has happened to this child to make her think, because she's a very confident person, that she could do something so stupid as to pay something around her neck for whatever reasons, we don't know, yet to be discovered. Euphoric, sexual, I don't know. A challenge off TikTok, I don't know, but she was glued to TikTok. And that's one of the, I mean, like I said, she was a very astute and independent young girl. And honestly, her character was like that from when she was very, very young.
You've been on a journey since that moment to try and find out why. And you've been to coroner courts, you've heard of other cases, the ongoing questions being asked of major social media companies, the search for information, how long it takes for information to be accessed after an incident like this. You've been down that road. That's what you're campaigning on, Liam.
Yeah, definitely. I've been down the road, and I'm still on the road going down. Maybe the playing field is getting a bit more level as I'm traveling. It's becoming a little less downhill, you know. So what happens in the event of the death of your child, your only child, is you are emotionally crippled. You cannot think. You cannot think of anything. You can't think of your next meal. You can't function, and you have to rely on people around you to help you. Wise advice. Someone said to me, "Say yes to everything. Everything that everyone offers you, just say yes. Yes, 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 yes. Can I do this for you? Yes. Can I do that for you? Yes." Just keep saying yes until you can learn to put one foot in front of the next. So here I am. I've spoken to the police at the hospital bed. I told them I want her data scooped. So then you go home and you cuddle up to everything that you cuddled up with her, and everything that meant sentimental to, value to her and to you. You hold that and you cry and you cry and you cry and you don't stop crying. And in the back of your head, you're thinking, you don't have to think of the Inspector Frost way or Sherlock Holmes. You don't have to, because the police have this, right? The police have this. I told him in the room, I want a data swoop of her iPhone, iPad, and laptop. And you're thinking, Jesus, this should be no more difficult than me downloading my bank statements from my, you know? What am I? I'm just Joe Soap. I have an illusion of something in a working order. So after 5 months of the police saying, yeah, we're looking into it, but not committing in any language sense that they have looked into it, they've drawn a conclusion and whatever, eventually they said, well, we can't really get into her iPhone, and we can't get into her iPad, and we can't get into her laptop. And out of frustration, I said, just give all of that stuff back to me straight away. So they did, and then her mother got into her iPad, cracked it, codes, whatever, which led us to her password list, which led us into her laptop, which her iPad had pictures up until 6 o'clock on the day that she died, including some messages that she was sending to her friends, which depicted suicide. And the suicide imagery that it depicted came from TikTok. So I get into her iPad. Her mum got into the iPad, gave the iPad to me. I'm looking into the iPad. You can imagine, this is your full-time job with a vengeance. You're trying to find the needle. You're trying to find an answer, is what you're trying to find. Yeah. And I am going through every file, folder, every single thing that I can on it. But TikTok deletes the watch history, and TikTok deletes the live stuff, all of those videos that the doom scrolling and whatever is involved in that. On day 90, I get the equipment back on day 150. So now I'm like, okay, well, what is there? So I'm looking at what is available there, and there's two videos depicting suicide, both off TikTok, that Maya had liked 4 days before she had died. And one of those is, I'd love to send it to you so that you could listen to it. It's a Minecraft video, and this TikTok video is a Minecraft video of a person playing Minecraft, and it's saying that angels place marks on their bodies, and you must be an angel because no one understands you. So why don't you place marks on your body so that you can become an angel, and you will be, you can go back to home, meaning heaven. And this is said in a childish storytelling female soft voice. And I'm watching this. This is what she's, just the worst of the two, in fact. And I'm watching this, and I'm listening to the language, and I'm thinking, this is grooming, but without the sex. This is coercion and manipulation, but without the sex. Around that time, my cousin Maureen O'Sullivan, she had sent me a link to a man called Ian Russell. And Ian Russell's daughter, Molly Rose Russell, had died because of Meta, Pinterest, and Instagram, where she had negative thinking, suicidal ideology, and she had actually committed suicide.
So I just lost you for a second there. She said she accessed content on those platforms that were along the same lines.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah. She had, but not on TikTok that we know of, because she died in 2017, and TikTok wasn't really a thing until about 2019. Yeah. Ian Russell has spent 5 years through the courts, and on the conclusion of his court case, which was outside the steps of Barnett Coroner's Office on October the 14th, I believe, of 2022. In the next county, my daughter's dead on the mortuary table in the hospital. Yeah. So Maureen had said to me, Liam, contact this man, because he may be of some help to you somehow. So I did. I wrote a letter, told him where I was, and lo and behold, he emailed back, and lo and behold, we ended up talking over the phone for 3 hours, 4 hours, 2 or 3 hours. And it was the beginning of a journey of, I said to Ian, I said, like there's something gone terribly wrong here, Ian. I'm not delusional, I'm not a delusional dad. Maya was angelic, but she was no angel. She was cool. She was exactly who she was meant to be.
Yeah.
A little bright spark, and something terrible has gone wrong.
You're on that journey. You're obviously concerned about the videos that you found. You won't ever know because of that deletion policy of 90 days. So you're on this campaign to, I suppose, number one, speed up the coroner system or the police response in cases like your daughter's. And number two, obviously, get the social media companies to take more responsibility for the content they upload. But with that in mind, this week in Ireland, I don't know if you're aware of it, there was a Primetime Investigates program, which did an experiment investigation into the impact of TikTok content on the mental health of young teenagers. And that showed, you know, they set up 3 false accounts, purported to be 13. Within 20 minutes, the accounts were being shown videos directly referencing self-harm and suicidal thoughts. After an hour of scrolling, the algorithm was showing a stream of videos almost exclusively related to depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. And that was the RT reporters didn't input anything into it. They just set up the accounts and started scrolling.
Yeah.
And they didn't do any likes or go into any dark corners. So, now TikTok have responded to the investigation saying RT's test in no way accurately represents the behavior or experiences of real teens who use our app. Out of hundreds of videos that would have been seen during RT's testing, we reviewed 10 that were sent to us and made changes so 7 can no longer be viewed by teenagers. Now, this comes as TikTok are appearing before the Oireachtas Children's Committee. The Taoiseach to Micheál Martin at the recent Fianna Fáil Ardéis said social media platforms must get children off their apps. But you're talking about like this not being an intentional groomer using the app. This is the algorithm which is responding purely to likes and screen time, which is obviously profitable for the company. So I suppose my question to you is, there's a lot to unpack here. It's a complex area. But is part of the problem here that these platforms are so big, there's so much content being uploaded, or there's so much money being made? Getting them to change the algorithm is a tough job.
I think the bottom line is money. They are pulling in enormous amounts of money. I think the second line is the concept of the actual business itself. They've got 2 billion... to my knowledge, 2 billion videos on TikTok. I'm only using TikTok, that's my area of focus, but TikTok specifically is the highlight in most news stories in relation to negative online content. And they have not got, or they haven't developed, or they refuse to develop, or they refuse to release, or they refuse to use any type of a program that would filter out dangerous content or ideology or whatever. They would have to have some. They would have to have AI in order to do it, because you couldn't have a row of chickens. You couldn't have a row of men and women
of people constantly watching. Yeah.
Who'd want to do it for a living anyway? You know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So now we are a year and a half on from Maya's death, and Ian Russell and myself and 10 or 11 other bereaved families whose children have been taken somehow, one which way or the other, to do with social media. We have been in parliaments in the UK helping or supporting a lady called Baroness Beban Kidron. And so Ofcom have come along and said, right, they've started something, and they've employed 600 people. They're down in Farringdon in London, and now we are of the opinion between us family and parents, called the Five Rights campaign. Well, what are you going to do with your 600 people? What are you doing with 600 people? Are you proposing that you're going to monitor the likes of TikTok, Instagram, the rest of it, and all that with 600 people divided by whatever, plus holidays, da 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 da. We want to know how you're going to do it. How's Ofcom or any other business, the European side of Ofcom,
Union,
or the equivalent of Ofcom, how are you actually going to police this? Because you would have to have on-board relationships with the actual companies themselves, wouldn't you? You'd have to have TikTok going, don't worry, we've developed this thing, and they can filter through anything, was, you know, like you should be doing in the first place. What we're asking is, how are you going to help Ofcom police?
Yeah, and then the question is self-regulation, you know, is that ever work in any instance, and all those things. So that's where the campaign is at the moment, and politicians are starting, obviously, to talk about it more here as well. The thing I wanted to ask you, look, just playing devil's advocate on this, and you're passionate, and obviously the 10 families are bereaved. What do you say to someone who says these are a group of bereaved families looking for answers when sometimes there is no answer? Sometimes young people take their own lives, accidents happen, and that this is, you know, the pain of grief driving you to blame everything on social media unfairly. What's your response to that argument?
Yeah, I have thought so many times, could I swap my grief of that of a parent whose child had died in a car crash, in a plane crash, through cancer, through she'd fallen off her bike, banged her head, cracked, whatever. Something that you can immediately go, she died because of that reason. You know, she died because of a reason that's very self-evident. It's as plain as day. A horse or a donkey could figure this one out really easy. That's not what's happened to my child. What's happened to my child is she's died within arm's reach of this, her iPad, and her iPad,
phone,
computer, all of which I've furnished her with in order to help her education. And I'm saying, do you know what? If it's just a terrible accident, or she did messing about and she's gone too far, whatever, oh my God, I welcome that as much as anything else. I'd rather not think there was deviance involved in the death of my child.
Yeah.
I'd rather not, thank you. I'd rather not. I'd welcome something a little less severe on my spirit and soul. So what I would say to any other parent is, my daughter has died, but her is alive, and I'm her father, and it's my duty to continue to figure out what it is that has happened to my child, even if the conclusion is it's just a real bad set of circumstances. And she's died, Len. And it's nothing to do with TikTok. It's nothing to do with online. She was copying something, whatever. I could go, all right, and I can put my hat down and I can begin a grieving process, which I am in, and her and our family are in limbo with.
I understand you. Look, the campaign continues, Liam, the time is left. You want to bring her back to Kerry, or remains back to Kerry, is that right?
Yeah, so at the time we didn't know what to do. You can't think, and you're shoveled into a tunnel of things that have to happen. She's at the hospital. She needs to be a funeral, and all of the family are around me and helping me to make this thing happen without my immediate involvement, because I can't cope with it.
You can't function with it
at the time. No way. And I can't speak to people about flowers or sandwiches or I can't speak to anyone. So we had her cremated because that was her wishes, believe it or not, because I was trying to prepare my child for my death. So I once had a conversation with her about, you know, if anything ever happened, I'd like to be cremated and put back into the earth. And she's like, actually, Dad, that's how I die. I was like, that's a very strange thing to be thinking, Ryan. I'm trying to talk about me here. And anyway, that was her wish. And so we had her cremated in a beautiful place in Hoddesdon. And a year and a half onwards, I have come to the conclusion through a set of circumstances. I work in Frankfurt for an Irish company from Dublin, and I've met some wonderful people here, absolutely wonderful people here. And some of those wonderful people, a couple of musicians, trad musicians, one called Jimmy Murphy from Derry, and one called Breeder Campbell from the Isle of Skye. And Breeder has a mural in Tralee off a picture of her, you know, along the new roads, you know, the thing that goes to Venus, the Greenway.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm working with Jimmy, and Jimmy's going, "Oh, I suppose you're Irish originally." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I'm from Tralee." And he goes, "Oh, you wouldn't believe me. Well, my girlfriend's got a mural of her in Tralee." And I'm like, "That's an interesting thing to have. It must be great in an argument." And he said, "She's a musician, travels the world, this, that, and the other." Anyway, we've ended up meeting, and from that connection, she said she'd like to write a song, a piece for Maya. And her album was called "You Carry Them With Us." Anyway, all of this mystic stuff, and I'm as superstitious as any other Irish person, I think. And I think, how could that happen? I ended up in Frankfurt. So anyway, the bottom line is, it's made me start thinking along the lines of, I really want to bring her home. I want to bring Maya, what's left of Maya, home to what she regarded as her Mecca. It wasn't just my Mecca, but our home is the Spa Tralee, overlooking the Brandon Mountains and the Kerries and all of that. So I've decided to embark on a final journey for my daughter in relation to her funeral. Anyway, it's a long funeral, year and a half, 2 years funeral.
Yeah.
And I've decided to bring her home and make something of that, and probably involve and also highlight this beautiful young girl who never would have the opportunity of turning down being a rose, so to speak. Beautiful girl, sure.
Yeah. Well, listen,
and I just think, you know,
it would be a beautiful thing to do, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think my father's 81, and Nana's, she's nearly come to retirement age, and this has taken the breath out of all of our bellies, this.
Yeah.
And I just like it to be a bit of an event. Yeah. So I'm thinking of approaching the Rose of Tralee organisers and seeing if something could be something.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, listen, Liam, look, thanks so much for telling us the story and for telling us about the campaign. And it's something that's greatly concerning parents and politicians here as well. So there's a lot more work to be done, I know, in terms of asking questions of social media companies and getting politicians to regulate the area properly.
Well, one of my biggest questions when I'm on the BBC on the 8th of May, along with all the other parents in Salford and Manchester, and one of my questions will be, because we have an opportunity of asking Ofcom and the government in the UK, is how on earth has this set of circumstances been allowed to develop? And it's not an Irish problem or an English problem or a European problem.
This is a
worldwide problem.
Yeah.
It's like COVID came in, the focus is elsewhere, this app has began, the children are like a captive audience. How has this set of circumstances been allowed to develop when we have ministers and MEPs in charge of media all over the world? What are they doing? What have they been doing? That'd be my pertinent question, you know?
Okay.
That'd be my question.